right, it is now 7:02, so we will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Simon, Co-Chair Charette,
Here.
Commissioner Haley,
Here.
Commissioner Lennon,
Here.
Commissioner Mezzatesta,
Here.
Commissioner Vesey, Student Commissioner Steerwald, Student Commissioner Avalos.
Yeah.
All right, we have four voting members present. We do have a quorum. First order of business, public comment. We do have one registered public comment. Gabriel Manolo, did you want to introduce this? You had made the connection here, so.
Environmental zone member and for the Schmidt project, which in the state of Illinois, I know I have heard every student applicant one semester of civics, more particularly hopeful, and this was geared to it. Yeah.
All right, Gabe, if you would like to present, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk a little about my civics project. We were supposed to do something that was really important to us, so I didn't really know what to do for a while, but after going to an Enviro Club stewardship program where we took down a lot of buckthorn, I realized how important that was to me, and I decided to do my project based around buckthorn. And I learned a lot of interesting stuff that I never really knew about it before. So buckthorn was originally introduced into this area by people who really thought it just looked pretty in their yard. And from there, as an invasive species does, it spread basically all the way to the forest and then outcompeted every single native plant for resources. It thrives off like nutrient poor soil, so it sucks up all the nutrients, kills all the plants around it, and then thrives. And then also, as an addition to that, its berries are toxic for birds. It's very thorny, meaning it's not good nesting for birds, and a lot of deer avoid eating it because, berries are poisonous. So I just wanted to talk about that. And when we cut down buckthorn, it was doing great. We cut down a lot of buckthorn, but it just kind of kept popping back up. We saw a bunch of baby buckthorn, and I didn't really know what to do about that. And I was really worried, and I wanted to figure out how we could get rid of buckthorn in the forest. But then I had another idea of what, the River Forest Board can do instead. So I just wanted to ask two things mainly. So one thing I just wanted to ask is that, firstly, I never knew what buckthorn even was until I did that stewardship program. And I think it would be good for like the general public and people who, care a lot about such woods to know what buckthorn and other invasive species are, obviously. To just know what it is. And to educate them on the harmful nature of them, because again, it's really important that, thatcher woods is healthy and has a lot of variety of native species and not just like four dominant invasive species. And two, this is a little bit more of a specific one. It is illegal to have buckthorn in your yard, and it's also illegal to sell and distribute it for a long time, but people could just have it in their yard and they would not know. And I would like to ask if you educate the public for that and people spot buckthorn in their yard, if there isn't already a service to remove it, and I wouldn't know that because I couldn't find anywhere. If there isn't already a service to remove buckthorn, could you possibly like have a service to just remove buckthorn from people's yards for free if that's okay? But yeah, I just wanted to really talk about how buckthorn in thatcher woods is like a major issue, and I just wanted to touch on that. Yeah.
Any comments from any of the commissioners?
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah.
It is a big problem. Big problem everywhere. I don't know if you get out into the preserves. I spent an awful lot of time in the preserves, Cook County, DuPage, all around, and all of them are going through and burning and whatever they can to try and eradicate the buckthorn as much as they possibly can. I'm also told that if you have it, there's a lot of money available, grants. I don't know exactly how to tap into it, but there is grant money available out there. If you got it on your private property, you can tap into it to help eradicate it. It's a tough thing to do because you cut it down and it pops up someplace else. And I did see
Thank you.
a a video, I don't know, a couple of months ago. I was watching one of these things. Some kid up in Minnesota, University of Minnesota or something, figured out how to kill it. And what you have to do is he walks around with these, think of a black boot bag that you use for a dog, and you cut it and you tie it to the top. And then over about 2 months later, it will kill that plant. But that's pretty hard to do. If you've been in any of these environments and the preserves or elsewhere that have it, it's thick. I mean, it's thick. If you got it in your yard, you'll know because it's very, very prickly. So, but there is plenty out there, I'm told, to do that. If there's something you want to take a look at and Google, you'll probably find it. That's something that the community probably be interested in knowing.
Well, I know a lot about buckthorn because I discovered it in my yard in the house. I didn't know what it was, and somebody pointed it out. We got rid of it in our yard, but our neighbor had a great big tree that was about 6 inches around. He finally took it down because he found out what it was. And I was busy killing it in my neighbor's yard. I volunteered to get it out of the yard because they weren't going to do it. But it's we had used chemicals that you don't want to know about. You paint the stuff, stuff with Roundup, and it's not fun.
And deprived of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked it up because I'm curious. I'm on this kick of finding out national bays for different things. And Invasive Species Awareness Week, we missed it. It was the end of February to March 3rd. But I'm going to construct a calendar, and then we'll have all these great days when we can do our little write-ups on it.
That sounds awesome.
And National Rebuild Day. I'll get to that when we get to the application portion. But, yeah, I feel your claim in the buckthorn. And I would definitely like to see some publicity around it.
So this is actually kind of great timing. So the village got a grant through Morton Arboretum to help with our emerald ash borer treatment this year. As requirements of the grant, Morton is asking that we update our tree ordinance. Brian, our superintendent, Jack, our new public works director, and I have just sort of put together a preliminary draft using a lot of their language. It also asks for making reference to invasive species, having an invasive species list or referencing an invasive species list. So I referenced the State Exotic Weeds Act, which buckthorn is the first species listed on that act. So, I will hopefully have something just to show you all, get all of your input next month. And then we're hoping for the board to formally adopt that at the end of June or beginning of July.
I'm wondering, would you be willing to write something up on this that we could use for the thesis?
Wait, sorry, I'm breaking up here. Is there somebody say something?
We were asking if you had some information that you could provide to us, some sort of write-up, and we could put it in Village Newsletter, Village Social Media to help raise awareness.
If there's anything I would like to say to the public, it's that buckthorn, one of the best ways I've learned from somebody to tell what is buckthorn and what isn't buckthorn is to make like a little incision into the buckthorn. And if the bark is extremely orangish yellow, that's how you know it's buckthorn. It's also very thin. It's very spindly. And I think its berries and leaves pop off pretty early. Those are a couple of things I would know about it.
Would you be willing to write it? It wouldn't have to be very long, like 100 words, basically of what you said to us and everything you said as the basis of some communication.
Yeah, like provide 100 words or something for the
something
email site.
You don't have, we can edit it so you don't have to worry a lot, but just basically noting down what you said and then on. We can build off of that and maybe incorporate into the plans. That would be really helpful.
Yeah, I would love to write down a couple words and just send it to you and like figure out just some general tips to finding out and identifying which is buckthorn and which is not buckthorn. I would like that, yeah.
And not just the identification, but the other background that you said about, why it's so detrimental, because it really precludes other native plants. That's what's really so bad about buckthorn.
Yeah, it really does. Like, there's just so much variety in Thatcher Woods in general, and it's just like really sad to see just buckthorn and only buckthorn.
Yeah,
I remember the first day I walked in with a stewardship program, I was just like, oh, I haven't really seen Thatcher Woods in a while. I wonder what it looks like. And we went to this one section where it was just buckthorn. Like, there's a couple other trees, but there are no plants, barren ground, and just buckthorn. I'm like, oh.
Well, thank you so much. We have a packed agenda, so we have to move on. But thank you so much for bringing this to our attention, and we'll look forward to seeing you later. Thank you, Gary. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Right on.
Next on the agenda, we have meeting minutes from last month. I didn't know if anyone had any edits, clarifications. All right. Can we get a...
Motion to approve.
Right.
I second.
Right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yeah.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yeah.
Commissioner Mazzatesta?
Yes.
Minutes are adopted. All right. Moving on to the next item. So, Gary, you had raised this last month. I put together just a preliminary memo and then a copy of Oak Park's ordinance, what they had passed. So just wanted to get your guys' thoughts, feedback on this, how I imagined the approach from a process standpoint was next month we would, I would invite out all of the licensed contractors, similar to what we had done for all of the food service businesses, to provide any input they may have. If there's any further edits, then we can officially adopt it in July and send it, recommend the board adopt it from there.
So is your idea what you're thinking, that we basically just take Oak Park's and...
Yeah, that's what I sort of wanted to get your guys' input on. So they had previously had the seasonal ban within their noise ordinance, and then they instead made this sort of standalone banned, or banned, so I frankly don't know what the best approach is. I think that might just be more of a semantics question of where to place it in our village code, but, you know, any thoughts you guys had on this language, the implementation time frame, anything like that? I believe there is a licensing component to Oak Parks. Any landscape business operating in the village is already licensed with the village. How that would work for individual residents who happen to own gas-powered leaf blowers is a different question. So just wanted to sort of open it up for discussion for you all and go from there.
Well, I think that there may be some reason to do something somewhat differently than Oak Park, but considering it's probably a lot of the same landscaping companies both places, it seems like they're more similar to the two are out of fairness, you know, because there's enough pain in this, I'm sure, with the landscape. They had to abide by two great sets of rules. The only thing I saw anything that was violently opposed to.
Well, we have to change the first paragraph that says being on home road.
Yes, the whereas provisions would definitely be changed.
And as far as, you know, going to say loud is, you know, starting out with a partial ban, I think we should just go past that.
Yeah, I agree with that part. Yeah,
And I would, as a starting point, maybe we don't end it, but as a starting point, I would use the same implementation date.
Be June
1st, 2025. You know, let's get shut. Again, being as aligned as possible.
Right? When I got the impression that obviously this targets mostly the contractors, but really, briefs, no one can do it, whether you're homeowner or not. But the thing I found curious, and I don't know if this, I'm just reading, prior to June 1st, 2025, the operation of gas powered leaf blowers is prohibited between June 1 and September 30th. So what do they use during the summer there now?
Presumably, electric power leaf blowers are permitted. There is that seasonal ban. It's mostly
prepared to do this. That'd be my point. So this is the point I'm going to
Yeah.
And do it. They can handle it from June till September, and they're only using it for leaves and that big cleanup. Well,
so I think the only difference is like the so the way the timing is done, it avoids spring cleanup and fall, which is the majority of, you know, like during the summer, you're mostly used like just like after you have mowed the lawn to clean off the. So you're really talking about two different operations. But they had plenty of notice on this. I mean, if I was the landscaping company, I would not be purchasing for the future because you couldn't use enough time.
They have equipment that can do it during the summer, and at least around me, they run those things 7 a.m. in the morning till whenever we clear that and shut them off. So they've already had the ability to have decibel cap on even the electric. Then,
and for residents, I mean, my casual observation is that.
Yeah, but when I make it a point to look at it
and everybody's using electric, I
think
it's
because who wants to be inhaling that stuff, you know, when it's yourself.
I would
just make it obvious also that. Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody open up there and sorry.
Yeah, and I think
the issue is bigger, right? The electric, I mean, the one
I. Yeah, so I won't think too many residents. And also sell the electric.
So for the draft text that we will have next month and send to all of the licensed contractors, adhere as much as possible to this Article 41, these first six sections of what Oak Park had drafted, obviously any technical changes. And then beyond there, it seems like they're just updating cross-references, striking the section from the noise and relocating it, saying all contractors need to be in compliance with that section. So some technical changes like that to ensure things are correctly referring back to this are also needed, but really use this as the base of the. Yep.
I would think for you, with the landscaping services that they've already had this discussion with Oak Park, and they've already, you know, people know in the next minute, so that's always a problem.
But, and we're still giving them over here.
Yeah. I should think the discussion would go a lot easier than if Oak Park is getting one first.
I don't know if I read this wrong, but my computer's not working, so I can't look. But it says, the portion on like something about lawn mowers, and I don't know if we would want to add that to our ordinance, because I feel like if it's not in the Oak Park ordinance, it would be good to add for
maybe it's our noise section.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and our current noise ordinance does make reference to landscaping work. It does not specify by type of equipment, so that would presumably still apply. And I think there's the question of gas powered versus electric for any further lawn equipment. Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah, and like having the, in this case, where heavy Oak Park and the forest presumably are having them transition over to electrical boat blowers. Why don't we just maybe give them a little longer, but put you would like landscaping companies have to use electric or non-gas boat blowers?
That would be tough.
Yeah,
because that equipment is really expensive, and I don't know if there are other alternatives. As well. If you fold that in, I don't think you'd be able to do this as quickly.
Yeah,
I think it could be an incremental.
Yeah,
that's what. And you have to think about the cost that the homes get for them earning. So just to focus on leaf blowers, and we can always build on this in the future. And hopefully they would see, straighten the cars, but I think just for BNC sticking to what OPARC is doing.
Yeah, and just
a lot of basically a lot of sense because there's going to be a lot of different services.
Yeah. And just based on the comments I've received from residents, you know, there's obviously the emissions component that is very much within this commission's purview, but there is the noise component that really sort of galvanizes public support behind this sort of thing. I, you know, have gotten easily half a dozen different residents just unprompted reaching out about this exact issue. So, probably.
Yeah, you can say. Ready for a motion?
Yeah, I don't think we need a motion this because so what the plan is we will put together a draft. So I'll get that to you guys probably sooner than the packet for next month, but I will also plan to send out a mailer to all of the landscape companies licensed with the village. Similar to what we had done for the styrofoam panel, was the most recent one. Just asking them to come out, provide their input, giving them a draft sample of the language. And then, yeah, we will go from there. You guys can offer up any edits or changes at the next meeting. They can offer their input as they see fit, and then hopefully get a final version, any final edits you all may make, officially voted on at the July meeting. Does that time frame make sense and work for everyone?
Could you include in the mailer that we are, is the right language, but we are starting for the DPO part because they must have already done that. So just that, you know, that, I mean, obviously we're not adopting, but we're proposing an adoption of the same,
yeah,
the same thing so that, like I said, they don't have to spend much time going through the CCC with the same district. We just say up front that we can say, hopefully they go through that.
Perfect. Yep.
Are there any other surrounding communities?
I think most of the other communities that have done this are North Shore communities, so I'm not aware of any other Western suburbs that have done it. So I can dig deeper and find out, but you know, most of the ones I see are North Shore, Lake County. So,
any other comments or questions from the board?
All right. So yeah, I don't think we need an official motion on that. I will get that all to you and start working on that, frankly, tomorrow to just give as long of a runway for any feedback the public, any other stakeholders may have, and then get an early draft out to all of you for your preliminary review. Again, feel free to shoot me emails on this before the next meeting, and then we'll have a draft for your all review to provide official on the record comments about, and then any public input that may happen at the next meeting. So moving on to the next item of business then, mentioned to a couple of you before the meeting, so at the April 29th meeting, the village board had requested the commission consider a provision that is in our current contract with LRS regarding switching from an opt-in composting program to an opt-out composting program. I did pull together some quick information, just outlining our current opt-in, the participation rates, trying to get an analysis of what other communities do. There are three communities also serviced by LRS that do have universal composting. I could not find any cost differences, but only one of the three communities had an opt-out provision of that. The others, you just got all three bins and that's what you used. There were other communities that it was just sort of folded into their yard waste collection. Like the yard waste was just a base part of the collection, but that was really only seasonal. And then I did just bullet point out a number of things to consider in terms of potential challenges with the implementation process. And then, you know, obviously there are, again, the benefits to composting, both from a greenhouse gas standpoint and environmental friendliness standpoint. But just wanted to get all of your input and feedback on this for any potential things if we want to pursue this with LRS, even get an idea of what the cost may be, what the process may be from their perspective. So yeah, the board wanted your all input first before we begin that process.
Unlike aggregate solar, now that is a zero cost. This is in essence a tax. A tax, because you're telling them that unless you opt out, you have to pay this. And it runs from 160 to, let's say, 220 electric. So I think you're going to have a lot of squawking from it, particularly because people don't pay attention to what you send them until the bill shows up. And then you have a lot of issues. So my preference would be to, I think Susan brought this up before, you know, we identify some places around the community where you can have people who can come drop stuff off. So let those that want to pay for it and have it in their backyard have it. Like my wife and I would take us 10 years to build this thing, right? Just the two of us. And have drop off locations like you do for the lights and other types of things that people can use. To me, that seems like a more practical solution. Because I would view it personally as a tax, because it's nothing I voted on. It's going to cost me money unless I somehow read it and then opt out. And people aren't going to do that for fun. They see the bill whenever that comes, right?
I think the other problem, too, is that once people get past being huffy because you forced it, there's going to be people, I'm not saying I'm not going to do it or I'm going to throw the wrong thing in there because I'm bad, but if somebody doesn't embrace it enthusiastically, they aren't going to do it right or they're not going to do it. So you could give them the card, but they don't have to put anything in it.
And it sounds like the city services are going, oh my God, how would we manage this?
Yeah, that was sort of.
There's a lot of this hidden cost there too that's not part of that.
Yeah, that's sort of some of the things I had tried to think through in speaking with Brian, our public works superintendent, speaking with Matt, our village administrator. Every time there's people added to the aggregation program, I'm getting calls all day just trying to explain through, because people see this notice from the village, from ComEd, and they're wondering what's going to happen. There is an actual fee change to it. There is would require physical delivery of an item to each of these addresses. There's, you know, even things like we just wrapped up our compost delivery for those who do subscribe to the program. And so we got just over 500 people, about 150 every year, sign up to get finished compost delivered to them. If we grow the first pot exponentially, presumably the second pot will grow to an extent as well, and how that would sort of stretch our maintenance crews' ability to get these delivered within that 6 to 8 week time frame that we really try to shoot for during the spring planting season. Oak Park has a opt-in compost program, and they aren't even able to do deliveries for it. They just sort of dump it all in a parking lot and say, go pick it up. And so some people here order literal truckload of compost for their gardens. So that's,
I don't really see us trying to come up with ways to keep advertising the program for holdings and so on, and see, you know, in the next year how we can grow it. Because if you can grow it gradually, I know we did more out of it if we all did it right now, but then the staff, you know, can better plan if it's incremental. I just think you're going to have too many people where it's going.
I can't remember her name from LSR. If you remember
Katie?
Yeah, she was strongly promoting that you keep it in your own yard because of all the other resource costs associated with just managing this that don't go in factor into. So, I mean, there's really a benefit to it when you factor all that in, because somebody's driving around in trucks and picking this all up and hauling it over here and churning it and putting it back, driving it back and all that kind of stuff. So at the end of the day, yeah, it sounded like you did a good deed, but did you really? So, I mean, I would, to your point, continue to promote it and promote, and it sounded like she was willing to help give us some stuff to put on our site to do that, promoting doing it within the confines of your own property as much as you can.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, Seth, but the soil component, you can opt out of that if you choose, because we don't get soil delivered to
That's just an email I send out every spring to those, like one of your parents does get that email, they don't have to sign up. That's just whoever does, it's a service offered as a sort of extra added incentive to people who participate in the compost program. So.
Well, how about, it's probably been done before, but how about an educational video, put it out on the site, you know, hey, you want to compost in your own yard? How to do it.
What I wanted to suggest was Oak Park put together a survey. And I think there's a lot of things we don't know. I mean, the only number we have is that 528 people sign up for varying sizes. But we don't know how many people compost in the backyard. We don't know who has vermiculture, which the next level.
What was that?
Vermiculture worms. I do.
So, I thought that was part of it.
And we don't know who shares. And so I thought maybe we could put together a survey which was both inquiring but also educational to say, like, are you aware that there are three composting bins out for the village? And so I feel like people who want to do this, you can certainly do it. And I feel like it might be one of those things that sounds good, but if we just have our compost is already bunker. By the people who have the incentive to pay extra to do it. When you start throwing out there the whole village, people who just don't give up flying thing, I don't think I say that at a public meeting. We don't give a flying thing about composting and we're going to be chucking all kinds of things in there. It doesn't end up being a good thing. And then the other thing that I would, in addition to survey, I would like to suggest, and this is partly so that we can have better accounting of it, but also partly so that we can raise awareness, is that we, like Oak Park does, we make it official that you can split composting and that the bill is split. Because there's no reason the village couldn't split the cost of the bill between two things. And then the last comment is on the LRS side. I think part of their reluctance is that there's a cost that comes to them as well, which is supplying all of these bins. And to go from 500 to 3,000 is a huge cost, so they're not going to be very supportive of it. But suppose 20% of these households are elderly. I mean, that's another thing we could say. If we went village wide, we could say you have an option. You can have your own, or you can split it. And if you're already splitting it, then you just keep that arrangement. That brings the cost down to half. And I to sum it up, I think it's a lofty goal, but I think jumping from where we are now to that is too much of a jump given the village. But I would definitely like to take actions which move us in that direction, since it is a goal that we have. And so I don't know if there's anybody to push forward the survey or the anything. I guess as far as the cost, that's something you could just check with the village, because I don't think that's something LMS really has say over, since nothing would change for them. They would pick up a bin and just the cost would be divided between two households, and nothing changes for them. The cost doesn't change, the labor doesn't change, it's just the exact same service on the front.
Yeah, we would need to, I would need to work with our finance team to just figure out a way to get those people registered like that, and then make sure it's sort of changed in our system to split it out correctly. So there might be some administrative steps, and that might take a little bit to get the implementation right and get the implementation correct. But yeah, I will look into, so I started writing down cost splitting, promoting the drop-off location, promoting backyard composting, having a survey, and then advertisement/educational awareness.
I would say, as far as the survey, I think it would be worth waiting, because if you wanted the survey to be serving both a educational and the data gathering purpose, if we could get the splitting done before that, then we could say in the survey, are you aware that you can split this company? And so that would really get so, I don't know, that would be my suggestion.
Got it. Awesome. Yeah, I will get to work on this and report back next month.
That is exactly what I would do. But also, great. After we do this, presumably do the splitting and putting together with a short little video educating people about that we have this, and then the survey below, which would be beneficial.
And I was thinking that'd be a great student summer project for somebody to put together. And looking, I'm not so new with it, I'm saying, use your resources if you could find somewhere.
Yeah,
you guys are way better at this stuff than all this technical stuff that we have. So I'll put it right back over to you.
The other advantage is getting back to the point about the gas that's used and pick up this and all the rest of that stuff. If people share that bin is full instead of half full, then you're getting more bang for the buck out of the gas of the truck and the plastic bin and all that. But maybe the way, maybe the tagline or the slogan or whatever here gets back to what you're fond of saying, Susan, is recycling is great, but reuse is better. And, you know, start in your own yard because, but if you can't do that, you know, get a bin, share a bin with your neighbors, you know. And I assume you're going to split it. You don't want to split it two ways, right? Instead of, you're going to have all sorts of options like,
yeah, I think that would probably create some complications. I think the thing is to just sort of be able to have the ability to do it first and make sure that's sort of built into the system, and then for to identify and make sure that sort of both households who are using this compost are like both be notified. So there are some things on that part that I think need to be still ironed out. I think it, yeah, like you said, it can be done all village, at the village level, and not with LRS, because they just sort of, we let them know which addresses have it, and they, we just sort of, we collect it, we.
And to Louisa's point, I think it's reasonable at the village level that we say two households can split. I don't think they should have to live next to each other if somebody wants to move their compost with their business. But when we come to the survey, we could acknowledge, like, you know, I know there's one across the street from me that I put, the only thing I put in there are things that can't be composted in the backyard. And so, you know, like, copies like this. So in the survey, we could ask, you know, how many people are sharing those and acknowledge that it would be more. And if people want to have private arrangements where you have three people somehow willing to bring, that would be fun too. But I think it's reasonable just to have them.
All right.
I had a quick a conversation with Katie this past month, and speaking of recycling, composting and recycling, she said we are number one in all of the as far as villages, and she didn't have numbers, but I believe she refers to like a percentage of residents recycling than even Oak Park at this point. So I don't know if it was households of like having composting and recycling or pounds or what specifically. She said we are number one, we are part. She's going to get back to you and let you know the stats. And
I actually just got the most recent monthly report. I have last month's report in this packet. I got the most recent monthly report at the end of the day today as I was sort of finishing up from her colleague Jordan. So
I think the statistics are to interpret because it's just me that we consume more plastic. You know?
So well, we did. She always had a good thing. So she wrapped up composting. So I told her we need specifics. Like, I don't know if it's a percentage of households or is this like pound. And she said it also takes into consideration the composting, but she's going to get back to you.
I believe it's like diversion weight per household, which I think just means of the materials consumed were composting and recycling more of said materials, but yeah,
that's absolutely what it comes down to is landfill for high school. I mean, that could be true, and we could still have a higher rate of high school. And
well,
I know there are
reasons, but
that's why
she's very proud of that number. But along the same lines for composting, that was one of the things that we talked about is that communication to the residents of the River Forest. Something she's been working on, so I actually reached out to her and help with. So I got a campaign to reach. And communication campaigns are valuable statistics. I think what we have now is not necessarily very valuable at this point. So we need to come to some better statistics for people to understand and potentially change the way people think a little bit.
Because if you look at my household, my little condo, right? I'm dumping and I got one of those great big Ziploc bags about like this. I'm dumping that every other day downstairs in our recycling. And I'm also collecting plastic bags for the benches that the Green Interfaith group is doing. And I have almost no garbage. And at first I thought that's great, and then Susan made me think about it. And it drives me nuts because, we get Amazon packages every other day, and some of them are plastic, and some of them are paper. And I don't know what their logic is, how they pack things either. I think it's whatever they find. Yeah. So I feel like just because I've done all this recycling, I don't necessarily feel good. Thank you, Susan.
So jumping a little ahead in the agenda along these same lines, I had also reached out after your request last meeting to Katie about a potential postcard mailer. I included a sample of it in the agenda. So the one side is just the what can and can't be recycled. The other side, they just put some very brief statistics in there. And I think the QR code was going to link to some more of just the infographics that they have sort of pre-populated on their website. But yeah, wanted to have that for your all discussion, any edits you guys may have. There's just the really quick 2023 recycling statistics. But any thoughts, edits you all had for this? And this would be going out to every resident, so obviously, we could include the compost statistics, those who do not participate. I don't know how well that would be received, but everyone in the village recycles, so this would hopefully be a very helpful thing, at least side A, to sort of stick on the refrigerator and know what they can and can't recycle if something's in question.
Maybe I misheard, but did you say IRS can tell us, they can't tell us how much water?
I do not think it's broken again. Yeah, because it's all single stream, I don't think they get it sorted out.
I'm pretty much a cynic when it comes to stuff mailed to somebody's house. One, do they read it? Secondly, do they use it once they read it, or they just throw it away, so the postcard just become perpetuating the problem we're trying to solve. That's what I run through my mind. So I think this came up because people said that they didn't know and they don't have a sticker on their trash bin. So my question would be, why don't we just put piles of these things in all the LSR trucks and they go around and make certain everybody has a sticker on top of their trash bin? Now, they didn't mind. My trash bin had that one had broken wheels or something, and they came and they replaced it. They fixed it, and they put that on top of it. So that would be, to me, a better use of resource. Is that it's always there versus somebody gets this, they may look at it, they may be not. And will they even, if they look at it, will they remember it or where they put that thing? Don't know. So I would just as soon have it someplace where it's obvious That may be my thought versus just sending more paper that's going to hit the recycling box and go downstairs. I don't know the value of these things. I mean, just that's just my kind of cynical approach, but I don't think people necessarily read this stuff when they get it. Then if they do they actually do anything?
Well, I'm cynical, but I think you have to be, and I think that's a good idea, because I was going to say, across the top, let's say, do not dispose of this, put it on your refrigerator. But I like your idea.
And it's not a magnet, right? So.
Okay. It should. No, but everybody's got magnets on their
refrigerator. Yeah. Everybody's got it.
Open it up.
Yeah.
I mean, there are like things we could do. We can have these available for the hall. Yep. People could make them. It'd be a library. I do think it would be a good idea to reach out to one of us, because I feel like that was part of the contract that they said, so if there are recyclers that don't have this, but they don't have this, maybe that's just for them to say if they're pursued. Is that something that they can check and make sure that they have one? We could, I don't know, some beautiful graphics somebody would be starting it. Maybe what was it already in the village? I feel like it already was in the village. When I wrote up the thing about
was that in January, February,
is this on our site? This graphic too.
If it is, you would have to like click through several things or search through the site to get to it. It's not sort of easily there.
Let me look at the hours since I've been, you know.
Probably look at you.
Yeah.
Let me look at it and see where we might put it.
I mean, I might have a recycler. I feel like every time I see it does help me. So I think there's some, you know, even if I don't save it, it's some value. What do you think, Amy?
The first question I get asked, what do I recycle? What can I recycle? What I can't. And it's free, no cost to the village. Yes, it might end up in the trash bins on many occasions, but I think it's another reminder, and there's no cost to the village as far as.
Is there no cost to the village? It's ready in our locker.
Yeah, this mailer, we can do one mailer per year. So. Yeah, with regards to the bin thing, so I know new bins that are being delivered all have them. One of the complications we get into is with residents who have driveway service, they are welcome to provide their own recycling bins. So that's, yeah, they are required to provide their own garbage bins, and they can get a LRS recycling bin for a one-time fee, or they can get their own.
So it's really the only alley.
Yeah, it's the alley ones that have or should have all of the graphics. For who has alley service versus driveway service? So there's a few blocks north of Lake that have alley service, there's a few, very very few south of Lake that have driveway service. So yeah, I believe if you butt up to the railroad tracks or some of the homes on Thatcher, I believe. Yeah.
So basically we're saying that if you have driveway service, they're not going to have a village bin with a sticker on it.
Correct.
So maybe ask about if you can differentiate. Maybe it's a different communication.
Yeah, and so all of my just interaction with residents who, especially new residents who have driveway service, and explaining this because it really does not operate like this in most other communities, is that you have to get your own garbage cans. You're welcome to get your own recycling cans. LRS can deliver them if you'd like. If you get your own, they need to be able to tell, looking at them without even opening the lids, which is recycling and which is garbage. So like that's. So
we have any kind of communication that goes to people when they move in.
Yep. Yeah, there is a whole new resident packet, and I've got a one pager on the garbage contract that goes in there. So yep.
Maybe this goes in there too.
That is a great idea. Yes.
Do you know what that means for them?
I believe it's $35.
One time charge.
One time charge.
Did you make it sticker on thing?
The new ones now do, because that is the one you had sent me a picture of. And I was like, so they're, for everyone's reference, there used to be these when Strom had these green bins that had like the River Forest logo stamped on the side. Within the past, I would say 18 months, the lids of all of those have started breaking. And people call me and just like, can I get a new lid for this? I'm like, we don't have any more. They can bring you a new one, like a new can, and then that's the new can. That's the new can that they get. No, those are all latch on. Only Ali Surface have the hinged flip over on lids.
I had was also wondering would you be able to just sort of like to everyone's point before have the folks sliders in LRS's trucks and if they see a bin that's clearly marked LRS and hasn't ever been, but it's not a new one and it doesn't have the their promotional flyer, could we suggest that to them that put it there and it's not?
Yeah, let me look into that. Yeah, because that would, I think it would take some time and to, you know, make sure we get all of them, especially, you know, if somebody doesn't put out all their bins every week or something like that. I have some, want to make sure that everyone's trash gets collected every week, and some weeks that is not the case. But yeah, and I think it, you know, could start with the alley residents because it's just going down the alley and making sure compost ones have the right sticker because some, weirdly enough, the compost ones don't, and the recycling ones have the right sticker. And then
they just carry those in their truck. I mean, like, so
yeah.
They come around, they repair the wheels, things like that. I don't know how they have all those parts because mine a couple of weeks before they did it. But then they have some of the stuff just in their truck. When they see it, it takes them a minute, they just slap it on, and then it's done.
So, where do we want to feel like we have a lot of stuff about where do we want to come in?
So it is no cost. We can do one of these mailers a year. Does anyone have any?
One question.
Yep.
Do you do the full cost the next year? Like get credit for 1 year? Like do something more valuable the next year? That would be more of an
expensive. Don't know. That would be awesome if we could. I think usually with contracts, it's usually the sort of word of the contract, so to speak.
You know, when I did, I had an old one. I just took it and I slipped it into the like shelf in my pantry. Whenever I mean, not everybody wants to have a large manual that's like on there. My husband, I swear that every single day, they'll ask, can I recycle this? And it'll be the same thing. And it's like, I mean, just refuse to look for whatever reason. Nail it, you can just hold it up.
Yeah, we dropped it. No.
And I tell him I'm embarrassed because I'm on this commission and you're a slump. And I get through his getting his waste bag in the office, you know, to throw a paper.
All right. I feel like we should have
been on. Yeah. So I will go ahead with the mailer and then, yeah, let's continue the discussion on getting the stickers put onto as many of the LRS owned and delivered ones as we can. Where are we at here? So bouncing back in the agenda. So I had sent you all the Dropbox link to the UIC climate planning ones. Just wanted to quickly introduce it to you guys all. We had the final Susan was on, Gary, you were on the final presentation. So we got two separate plans from the two student groups. They had, one had three, one had four section areas, and then it sort of went down and eventually ended in specific strategies within each one. Some probably very feasible, some not so much. You know, the revenue neutral carbon tax seemed like a great idea, but not legally possible, not operationally possible. But you know, I think there's a lot that we can work out. So I was just wanted to quickly introduce at this time. I know I just sent it out, so you guys probably hadn't had a chance to look through these two 80-page documents. But if we could, after the ordinance discussion next month, have some time to sort of identify strategies that we could be implemented in the near term that we can work on in the more medium or long term. Any thoughts, input you guys have, and then again, don't be afraid to shoot me emails, thoughts, ideas, anytime you're able to look through it. And there was, you know, some things that I thought were very easy wins, updating the tree portion of our website to provide information to residents about, you know, building their own canopy on the private property side, things like that. A lot of communication can be done with weatherization, with electrification. There was a big focus, I think, in both of these about the number of historic homes in the community and how to sort of best make them more adaptable and efficient. But yeah, I wanted to see if any of you had any initial thoughts, initial input, and then I know we'll have dedicate some time for a bigger discussion next month.
I think it's put in a lot of work. It's a bit of a consultant package, can't say it's under 80 marks on it. But I thought we should go through it and at least highlight things that I think we have under control here that we're addressing, and then the nuggets of things that you pointed out are maybe some quick win types of things. If they identified something like a tax that we may want to put on a longer term horizon, then we can do that. What they're describing, a lot of it, you know, seemed like we were some fashion addressing, but maybe not some of the nuance that they pointed out. But in general, I thought the kids all did a good job. It was pretty hard for me to hear. I don't know if you had the same, but it was pretty hard for me to hear.
Yeah. So they're, I think, like, they might have had one microphone at the top, and then Matt Walsh, your village minister, was in the lecture hall, and they had microphones at each desk, so it was easier to hear him than it was to hear the presenting students. I know one of the students, you could, like, hear him very well. I guess he works in Dick Durbin's Chicago office and, like, is a very public-facing role. I believe so. Yeah, he's been to one of the meetings here before. So I was like, I could hear his voice and be like, yeah, that's the guy who clearly speaks in public a lot.
Well, I had a couple of thoughts, but I wanted to talk about the carbon tax. That was thinking about too. So just to explain the way it does it. So in Canada, they have this tax, which essentially when you're, I don't know exactly what it goes on, but when I think it's certainly on gasoline. And so if they add it on, It's a income neutral one or cost neutral one. So they gather it up, so if you use a lot, you pay into it, but then it's distributed evenly to households. So if you are a very low consumer of things that produce carbon emissions, you're actually going to be getting money from taxes. But there is a small way in doing this right now, and this is the program with ComEd and I don't know if that might go as well, but certainly ComEd. Which is that there's a tax on all of the residences on the amount of electricity that we use. And that's used to pay for the villages. So if you are consuming very little, you're paying a very small portion, infinitesimal portion of the villages. If you're consuming more, then more so. Yeah, in a way, that. But also, they do not listen to us in our first, in our first presentation. When we tell them exactly what a known homeowner community was, so that would be illegal.
Yeah, I think there were a number.
I think they just thought it was an I just kind of, I also thought it was a very split thing, so I could see how they wanted to put it in, but not applicable to us beyond what we're already doing.
Yeah, there were a number of things that I had flagged with them later when I had attended some specific class discussions and provided input of, you know, these ideas may not work, may not get public buy-in from the community. And, you know, they, I think, still wanted to include them just because it was some of their passion project ideas. You said things we already have under control, that these are planning professionals. They really like biking. They really like transit-oriented development, things like that. And, like, we have biking. I mean, we've striped as many of the side streets and as we can. And
there's another suggestion. They're doing the name of green. Okay. But I have a suggestion. I just want to do, did anybody have a chance to look at the area? Did anybody else have a chance to look at these?
I attended the or virtually lived in the last night, yeah. And about you mentioned something about, like, or it might have been one of the trustees about, like, making it more like clear where transit stops are and clear where I guess that's the only thing, but
shelters and whatnot.
Yeah, shelter, yeah, I guess that's what I want.
Yeah, one of the, as I sort of alluded to, promoting sort of public transportation was one of the big keys coming out of this. Obviously, we have no direct jurisdiction with this. We do have the metro stop, and we do have several PACE routes going through town. Trustee Bachner had raised this question of if we budget anything for this, and if you see most of the PACE stops in town, it's just literally a sign and Grass Parkway, and there are some plans to sort of update it with the North Avenue streetscape improvements, but really no other plans beyond that. But this, I think, would be like a sort of partnership opportunity to work with PACE and say, hey, we'd like to sort of develop these shelters, work with you guys, make it easier for residents to find these bus stops, because right now it's just a post in the ground and a sign this big.
North Lake.
Yeah, North Lake and Harlem would be it. Oh, yeah.
Well, what I was thinking is, you know, sort of overview that, you know, what's our best chance for making something that is operational? And I thought, you know, maybe our first step would be, we have, there are two plans. I would say there's a level. 80% over that, but you know, there are the same boxes, they're going to be supposed to the same thing. So I thought, you know, it's valuable to have a document. Maybe we could, as a commission, adopt one of them. And this would be a nice little feedback for the class, too, because they'd say, oh, by the way, we have these buttons. Steph and I are in agreement about which one we think we should get our collaborative. And then in doing that, I don't think we should fully discount what the other group did, but you know, we adopted one as like, this is presented the most clearly and is most laid up. And then, is there anything in the other one that we think was of value but was not? So we, you know, take the whatever it was, you know, 75% of that, and we add that came up. This was a good idea. So we have an initial document. And then I can't remember which one talked about, you know, sort of like the different phases of sustainability. And I think we are on the cusp. And I think this is a good jumping point to go from one to the other, which is that, you know, this commission started out in 2017, and it was largely their sustainability issues were not being looked in at those levels, certainly not. I don't know, it seems like you spent a tremendous amount of time on this. That certainly wasn't true in 2017. So that's already been a huge jump. But we're at a point where to really, you know, we can do these little things on the margin, but to really have lasting change, sustainability has to be incorporated into every department in the village. Like, it can't just be set up churning out, you know, memos every, it's got to be. And I believe one of them, it may be imperfectly, talked about which departments would be involved in things. So that's, you know, when I say we adopt one, then we adopt it as a starting point, not. Look into that and we say, like, you know, for these longer term things, because, you know, to really have some of these lasting changes, these have to be incorporated into the capital plans, which you're talking years about. And so they have to be done at other departments or levels. So, you know, I thought maybe one way to take this plan and, you know, really make it worthwhile is to say, like, okay, this is the point where we go from being this, you know, volunteer organization that, you know, in our spare time, trying out these ideas to how we get these reconservative into the department. And you're already talking about, like, you know, the trees and, you know, so there's certainly things that are going on in new energy, like, that was largely done without our input. You know, how can we make it on that? And I think that could be, you know, our next real jump in terms of, not that we wouldn't continue to act on this, but, you know, really get this more into the bones of government. And because when you come, you know, there's this sort of easy stuff, but when you get to the stuff which is costly and, you know, has a long-term plan, we are completely ill-equipped to go get what the feasibility of some of these more structural changes are. So, wondering if anyone.
I think it's an excellent point. I'm going to give you a silly little example. I walk down the street to the hairdresser and I look at the planters and the public little things that have annual flowers in them. Now, is that the park district that's responsible for those?
The ones along Lake Street here? I guess just Ben. So we have the ones along Lake Street and then Chicago Avenue, I believe, the village ones, the biosoils, yeah, and then the planters along Lake Street.
Well, there was something I brought up a few meetings back. I don't remember exactly what it was, but oh, maybe it was that business with Dr. Lori, Carolyn Lori, that sent the public comments about the artificial turf. Okay. Now, the park district, and I think it's kind of like how it is in Oak Park, they're all kind of in their own world. Don't have any influence or way of getting them to change what they're doing. They seem to operate, you know, above the fray. They do it in Oak Park, and it sounds like they do here. And yet, it seems to me they're a very crucial element of some of what we're doing. And it's like, well, it wouldn't be too much trouble. You know, could you guys think about changing something? We don't control anything. I think to your point, Susan, that does seem like the next step is that inculcated, you know, departments, including the murders.
Yeah, so the Park District is a separate taxing district, separate elected governing body, similar to the school district.
Nope,
the only thing that there is any sort of quasi-jurisdictional overlap is the library, but that's just weird quirks in state law. The library has its own director and elected board as well, but there are things that the village has to approve of the library. But yeah, everything else is fully independent of the village in terms of township, park district, or school districts.
Well, I don't think that was a bad example. It's too bad because it just seems to be a lot of green things.
Yeah, I wonder if we can explore. I know Oak Park used to have, I hope they're still looking for people, but a sustainability office within their department. And
no, they haven't filled the job.
Yeah, they didn't fill it yet.
They're not paying enough.
Yeah, if we could have even one person to coordinate between all the departments, but also, I don't know if this is feasible, but also do move in the project.
Well, that would, I suppose, it would be in some kind of a,
yeah, that would be some sort of intergovernmental agreement.
Yeah.
So again, like with the library, because there is some sort of, we have like an intergovernmental agreement where like we help administer their like benefits to their employees and things like that. Just there's small things that can be done in that way. You know, we do try to work collaboratively with these other government bodies. But yeah, in terms of sort of sustainability oversight from a village perspective, I'm within the public works department, but I'm sort of the de facto person. I mean, our deputy fire chief sent me an email today saying, hey, we're having a meeting with this guy about electric vehicles and electric vehicle safety. Can you sit in on this too? Like, so.
Hello.
Oh.
Thank you for thinking on this too, is that And I was going to bring it up. We got to your electrical cohort because there's pieces in there. I thought, okay, that's kind of the starting point on some of these things. But I'll save that for then. But you know, you think about how do you get the organization start to adopt these things? Well, okay, what's in each department's business plan? Then what's in anyone's personal plans, and how are they measured? You know, coming
how from you motivate,
well,
incentivize.
Coming from the auto industry, you know. All based on dollars. If I get you wrong, it still is very heavily, but everybody also had big pieces of your bonus came from quality performance, other types of things. And so you had to have those objectives laid out and you had to meet them. It's tougher than meeting some other industries, but you had to do it. So the departments need to start to take these things on. And the electrical cohort is a piece of it. And as you have advised us, when you get level through that, and we'll start to look at the one for the solar stuff, and that start to get those things built then in. So going back to what the kids did, they did a pretty nice job of framing it. They got some nice buckets, a little bit different than the wording we chose, but nice buckets. And so within that, then okay, within the department, what are you doing for this? So each department, what are you doing? Then gets down to each individual, what are you doing? So one, you can put it in budget forecast, capital forecast, and that kind of stuff, but also have measurements around it to say, are we achieving this or are we not? And I think where this group can be of value is to help make certain that, you know, working with the village, we aren't going to dictate, obviously, because you guys know your resource constraint, you know, what should be the priorities in helping to move the needle on that. Because I agree with that. That's the only way it's going to start to really take root.
So what would be the process for suggesting that there would be, as we used to call it, the dimension in your personal your review, but I don't think annual review, semi-annual, or whatever, but we had dimensions of things that you had to be in order to get an A, a B, a C, a D, an F kind of a thing. If you don't add a requirement to somebody's job description, there's no way to hold them accountable. And who has to be on board with that idea in order to get HR to consider doing that? Is that the trustees and president? Or in other words, who do we appeal to do this?
To do, I'm sorry, which aspect of this? Sorry, I'm just,
well,
the just department by department, just sort of change of, I mean, that would be, I guess, going through the board is finding specific policy changes, whether it's these changes before the garbage metrics, things like that, to just sort of having these things to measure against and sort of measure the success through a sustainability lens, so to speak.
I want to know, you know, sort of applying this more to a municipality versus department. If each department, you know, in their planning and their budgets had a line to sustainability, and to say, you know, what you can, that's why I think it's good to have this as the original plan, because it used to be like, that, you know, what do you have in your long term planning, which is sustainability. So, your example of the fire department, we are looking into purchasing of vehicles we can.
Yeah, so that actually was raised today. So I sort of one of the sort of incentives for the departments is the financial sort of availability of grants. Of, you know, the police chief is asking, are there grants out there for e-bikes for the officers? The fire department is hoping to get a grant to move. They have some old gas-powered extraction device, and they're trying to get a grant through ComEd to get an electric one to replace it. Just sort of things like that, of knowing there's these additional incentives with moving in this direction, I think is probably a good sort of carrot and stick approach, so to speak. And then, you know, from a public works perspective, we're sort of already aware of what is out there, what we're doing. Our superintendent is a certified arborist. Our engineering tech has made sort of his pet projects to be sidewalk improvement, walkability improvement, and then like permeable pavers and things like that to sort of help with any sort of stormwater issues. So I think there's already sort of a different mindset there, so to speak.
And
But yeah.
maybe another thing would be like in the future would be like highlighting, because I
Yeah.
think there are a lot of things that we're doing and they just need to be highlighted, and then and then I think those departments should be recognized. But like they even some kind of an internal sustainability award, to say like what this department is really going on, something like a gold or a platinum or silver or bronze. But just like they just have like rewards for sustainable people, which is that I think a lot of these things are being done.
And
And they sort of building off of that, and people say,
that may be something to work with some of the other government bodies for, because I think, yeah, Oak Park, it's the Energy and Environment Commission that gives off the sustainability awards every year, but they like also recognize like the farmers market, which is also part of the village for like what they do to promote sustainability and things like that. So
I think it's partly the character, but I think you could also highlight when somebody's moving in the wrong direction, like when the park is just having a soccer field, like forget about the infield of the baseball, like a soccer field at the park, next to the library. And that's a lot of stuff.
well, that's as long as we get to one more stuff here. Private, whatever. It gets back to, and you sound like you're doing, the village is doing something, so maybe this isn't as overt until you bring it up. But the question I have is, so for every problem that's being solved in the village, whatever it is the sustainability concepts part of the decision? That's really what you want to get to. So that, okay, I got to replace this sidewalk. Okay, but am I comprehending not just the construction costs, the width, and all this kind of, but I'm also considering here's an opportunity to make a sustainability improvement. That's what you really need to get to. And that was really going to be my comment on the electric vehicle piece. I mean, it's one thing to go back and do some static, okay, here's where all our vehicles are at, and here's what we could buy today. But to me, I wouldn't do that. Actually, I would do it just get the star or whatever. But I'd want it to be every time I know what my forecast is on all my vehicle replacements. I know what that is. I mean, they have a useful life, whether it be the police cars or a lawn tractor, right? I know what it is. So with every replacement cycle, is that part of my consideration? That's what you want to get to, because that's really the piece that I don't know if that's in the village process or not. And so it needs to be then part of the overall business thinking, business strategy that everything falls under that. So before we buy something, have we considered that, right?
That's certainly something that we could add to one of these plans. Like I said, I think these are the starting points, but because the students are not coming on
And it's going to,
the center.
and it changes. Things change. And so it's working on, so it's also leveraging, right? So yeah, if I have to replace something, it's already in the capital plan. I already got it there. Now I'm just using that as part of my decision-making process versus having to kind of ad hoc it in or you know what I'm saying? So that's really the question I would have on that.
When does the next capital plan come? Because I'm feeling like 5 year plans are fine.
Yeah, but it's rolling every year. So yeah, there will be, I think, next January or February is when the next presentation will be. I will probably start working on it in November. So yeah.
Yeah. So somebody needs to replace the HVAC units on a building. But it's part of that decision-making process, including this as part of it. That's really where I'm at. And I think that's the best way to do it, leveraging the resources of the people's time, the money, and everything else, and bringing this in as part of it, and tying it in naturally versus just kind of, oh, here's something, here's something, here's something.
Well, I would also suggest that part of what happens when you make those plans is you come up with prices, you come up with costs, and so on. Okay? Now, let's face it, in a lot of cases, being green or sustainable is, in the short term, more expensive.
That's right.
Yes. But then there's, Yeah, exactly. And our spreadsheets, our algorithms, our calculations built around
That's one of my
factory data. Yeah,
That's
that's
why it needs to be built into that decision
yeah,
making.
those kind of calculations.
This decision making.
The true cost in the
Yes.
long run.
When I worked for the Department of Energy, they at one point came out with all of their grant call papers. When you wanted to post for a specific grant, so they rolled a grant out and they were soliciting applicants, they put a specific section in all of the grants at some point for DEI to try to get more women and minorities into each of the papers or each of the grants. So they actually had a specific section calling it out and saying, what are you going to do to meet this qualification? If they didn't meet it, they didn't get the points, and therefore we bring the whole score down. So that's exactly what you were saying. There has to be a component from the get-go, specifically stating, okay, what is the sustainability component and how are you going to meet it? So it's planned to, at the beginning of the project. It's little thing at the end of it.
That's a math, and it's just a natural part of your process for making decisions.
And I think we already have some cost savings that can sort of be pulled into this process. So what would they have number one, but you presented a number about what this community is going to.
Yeah, it's roughly 8,000 a year in just the line item utility costs for the four accounts over, averages out to, I think it'll start out right around 8,000, but it'll slowly
So
increase.
I
But
think
yeah.
again that should be bootstrapped. So
Yeah.
we have $10,000 that we use to spend. Now we can use that on reducing our electricity. And we're going to work in this budget. You know what I mean? Like actually take these cost savings and don't just be like, oh, look, we saved some money. But look, how can we take that and put that in? And maybe that is $10,000 that goes towards supplementing electric vehicle purchases, and so if they say, oh, this is more expensive, say, oh, yeah, it's more expensive, but we are getting cost savings from some of the other things you're doing. And I think that's a way of taking stuff which looks like it's out in the future and pulling it back. Because ultimately, we don't talk about this again, but we can't just consume at a level we're doing in place of the part of this has to be doing your own cash flow. So creating this neutral fee or taking savings and saying, okay, yeah.
Like seed money.
Seed money, yeah.
So I don't know how you would pull it off, but I do think it's a fair question, because we're citizens as well as commissioners, right? To ask the village leadership, how are they building this into how they do work? Right? That's the simplest way I could put it.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, and I can, again, pull these like sort of specific examples of, the capital planning, like, oh yeah, this vehicle can be replaced with an electric vehicle. Let's factor in that in the planning costs and things like that, but it's not a holistic thing. Yeah.
Every one of these purchases goes through a business case today, I guarantee you, right? Somebody runs numbers on the business case. So how does this get put into that? Along with what other considerations a village has for all these decisions that, yeah, we're going to buy A versus B, so on and so forth, or we're going to take this approach versus that approach. I'm really asking. Anything but the other, I see heads bobbing and saying, yeah, we'd like to understand that. And if it's not there, that's fine. But let's talk about then how does it get, then become part of it.
I'm just thinking this as we're talking about it. We have spent a lot of the history of this commission trying to educate the public on residential, and I just wonder if it would be worthwhile to just, maybe take the coming year and really turn that focus onto both the village and developing a system whereby we can reach out to the other municipalities. And I think there's ways that we can do it, but it might not be legal. It could be more like, you get people like Matt Walsh to say, like, okay, let's have a meeting and this is what the village is doing, what are you doing? Just I think there's gotta be a way because they have to come to the village for a lot of ask all the things that you want. And so they also have an interest in being on your village. But there's shifting our focus in the coming year, using this as our basis and say, let's really focus on this area, because you know it is livable. And it doesn't mean we won't do any of the other things in Boulder or something, but this would be our focus. And I think this is where we can really have the next level of change. And I think also, you know, I think leading by example, generate some statistics, and a lot of these things could be replicated in a household model and say, like, well, this is what the village is saying, and we could do this.
Well, and I think this is some good communication, but as we were talking, I've been listening and thinking, a lot of great articles about the things that the village is already doing. And an example of everybody else, hey, you walk the walk, we talk the talk here. It's an artistic issue. Oh, I'm sorry. But yes, I think this is the good thing to.
I agree. I think if you become more, what's the proper term? Yep. Not bought in, but just, you know, focused more on sustainability, I think would be easier from, you know, from inside, from the foundation out to the community.
Well, and are other municipalities doing this or trying to figure out? We go on with that C4 organization and so on. If we're the first, we can set an example. Imagine the difference you could make if you could take the model and over to Oak Park or Belmont or whatever and say, hey. I suspect that it's going to involve some kind of consultants and policy writers or something. I don't know.
So if I'm following everything, it's pretty lively discussion. So we're going to look at these two reports, basically use one as the basis, but pull what we can from the other one, build that as a model of things to focus on, the, you know, but there's the quick wins, the things we're already doing, and then from there build focusing on village operations and ways to incorporate, using this as guidance, sustainability into village operations itself. Am I summarizing that correctly?
And then the next step being
well, I'll say community stakeholders, because I'm sure the universities is another partnership opportunity there.
And maybe you said this, but I don't know, it's not a staff, right? I don't see that it necessarily means, I think there's something in parallel here. We can go back and look at the plans and kind of sort through all that. We'll do that. And the village obviously is going to do the same thing. But in parallel to that, I'd be interested to know, what is a village's process? What are they doing to build into their everyday decisions or standard work of what they do? The component of sustainability is part of that process. And that's independent of all that, right? I mean, this may give them some more ideas or things to fold into the problems you're solving, but what are they doing already? And I know you guys are doing a lot, because I don't know if it's a pick and choose, because, oh, here's something, a grant came up or this came up, or if it's part of just their general thought process. Hey, we're going to rework Lake Street, so let's get with Pace and put in the unit bus stops or whatever, right? Versus calling up Pace and saying, hey, we've had this great idea, what do you think? You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. And maybe that's the right thing to do, the second one. But all I'm wanting to know is, how is that being built into, I guess I call it, the culture decision-making within the village?
Yeah, and to your point, if you don't know where you're at, you know, how can you make a plan to do more if you don't know you're starting to do? So we need to understand what they're doing.
I don't want to stifle creativity, because if you're thinking that way and working that way, you're going to come up with things that aren't even on anyone else's piece of paper, because automatically part of how you're thinking. This is an opportunity, something here that we could do, and no one's ever laid that out before. That's why it's the type of thing I like to do. Well,
okay, well,
We are running out of time. Is there anything else that we have to
So I will just touch base on these EV charging things really quickly. So this second cohort was wrapping up. They announced basically at the end of April that they needed everything finalized by the end of May. Obviously, the zoning board was dealing with some other issues. So our text amendment that we had discussed back in March has not gone there yet. It will go next month to them. So I just had reached out to the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. Basically, we're not going to be done in time. We're rolling right into the next one. The good news is, like, while we weren't going to be able to get those bronze things wrapped up, the total number of things was above all but like three communities that were in this cohort, one of which was Aurora, that had been in a similar spot last time and rolled from the first cohort into the second, hence why they were so far ahead. So continuing on with that, so because of that, I've had a little more time to deal with these things. I'm wrapping up a few permitting items. We will go through the zoning process this summer. I'm not going to rush the fleet management stuff and just sort of take my time over the municipal fleet stuff. Take my time. I'll continue to provide you all updates. There was one item that I did think was worth discussing in more detail. I don't know if you saw. So ChargePoint changed how they make their automated monthly reports, and the metrics are just not useful. Yeah, it's literally just focused on uptime, which is always going to be 100% because we're not having power outages.
Those are maintaining it.
Yeah.
There's
no open chat,
right?
Yeah. So I mean, I can run some manual reports. I cannot figure out a way to get that all clean on one sheet of everything else. So one of the things in the EV readiness was just having some sort of tracking metric thing, and they really give broad leeway to develop it however we want to, frequency of reporting, what metrics you're reporting. But I had sort of listed out some examples, and I had sort of put together an early one of tracking the number of unique users every month, the number of charging sessions every month, and then I did include the charging length histogram to see how the time limit fee is working. Seems to still be working pretty effectively. There are a few very long ones, but most people are responding well to the financial incentive to charge up to 2 hours. And they are paying the full, basically they're getting a parking ticket for every time they park like that.
And where does that money go?
That is going into the parking fund.
Yeah,
that's
because they're not
getting parked. Yeah. I would say availability, people don't have up in there, whether it's blocked or just doesn't work, whatever. How do you put people into some of these places when they're actually working? So, for whatever reason, it's not available.
Yeah, I will. So I'm still getting like the metrics monthly because that's, I believe, part of the contract, but I can just sort of present it to you all and have like the three most recent quarterly ones, or even just that most recent one, because it does have the month sort of building up, and then we can dedicate time every sort of third meeting to discussing these couple of
things. One of the nice things about looking at quarterly is you can look at longer periods of time.
Yeah.
So instead of just saying the last three, like maybe you look at longer, you know, like look at 2 years, or maybe we're only looking at quarterly, not.
Yeah, and I can easily do that, especially for the EV stuff. I'll just have to sort of rework some numbers with the LRS stuff, but I can.
Is there any movement? I mean, I know that there was that report presented about EVs, but is there any movement in terms of
So I had applied for a grant through the Clean Energy Jobs Act for several EV charging stations. Won't know until later this year. So, I mean, if we get that grant, I think that's sort of the big thing is we're going to hopefully have a large increase in EV charging stations. Otherwise, we do have money budgeted, and so we would look to add, even if it's just another dual port charger or something like that.
So is that going to be the next capital?
Yeah, that's so our capital planning, we have, I think it's $50,000 planned annually for EV charging fleet deployment is what they call it or something like that. So it's what that can basically cover is a level two charger plus any sort of make ready construction, potentially two level two chargers with make ready construction. The direct current fast chargers, we would have to find the cheapest end model of those and have a site ready with that stuff. But there's other things we're sort of anticipating and planning for. Couple years down the road, we've got a couple of village-owned lot reconstruction. We're planning some, you know, make it at least EV capable for a few spots at each of those for potential charging. So
these are village spots. Okay.
Yeah. So we chose three village-owned lots in this application. There was one small patch of the village that was considered an environmental justice zone that the village happened to own a lot in. The Franklin Avenue lot, just sort of Franklin Avenue, the one just sort of one block over with the 3-hour parking behind this strip of retail right here. Yeah. There's this weird strip between the Walgreens or CVS at North and Thatcher and the condominiums. That strip is actually a village-owned parking, are all village-owned, and then the metro lot. So the east lot is not as utilized, I would say. So the application would be direct current fast charging at those and then level two chargers there. I don't believe that's village-owned. Trying to think.
It's on by Gray and Concordia is like 2 or 3 blocks long. It's in the center of Concordia. I think it looks like something was knocked down and put a parking lot there, and it's really overgrown and vacant.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture where that is. So I know Concordia. The Priory campus is owned by Fenwick. The
it's
parks.
The east of, it's
number
street that is.
I do not. I'm not aware of the village a lot over there. So yeah. But yeah. So hopefully we can get a big deployment out. Otherwise,
And another thing, I don't know if this is in any of the plans, but. I thought this was a sad thing, and then recently it was like a new thing. But Chris from the Park District in Oak Park is talking about these sort of like, I thought it was just like a lamp post plug-in charging. They're very low cost. And
Volt post, I believe, is yeah, what they're called. Right? Volt post, I thought of something like that. I've seen it. I've not looked into it in much detail. But yeah, we'll have to check that out. I know they're trying to, yeah, put that into some of their lots. So.
It worked quite the panacea they described.
They seem pretty low cost compared to putting in a whole new.
Yeah, but they had a lot of negative. I can kick you that if I saw it, if I find it.
So yeah, I will shift this to do quarterly. I can incorporate just the total vehicle EV registrations for the village in these quarterly reports as well. Yeah, I'll sort of play around, and then 3 months from now, we can have some.
I mean, people don't talk about voters anymore, but I don't want to
include those as well. Yep.
I mean, they're both moving us. But I think sometimes we're just so focused on
And
we have a very impressive number of pilots.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then
the number alone, percentage of vehicles registered in the village is what I want to know. Because I'm fighting with my HOA about this. And they're going, well, the percentage, well, but what percentage of registered vehicles is that number? Only 4% are, then I don't care about putting a charging station in the building.
Yeah, so I will work on this. I'll even maybe plan for a few months from now, a couple months from now, having sort of a sample quarterly report for you, maybe July to be a Q2 report. And then, yeah, we can go from there. I have not seen what they've done. So, got waste sign-up reminder going out this week. We're using the flag recycling thing next week. I had sort of made some notes about community solar, the claim, village LED lighting projects as potential items. It's done last year. Let's see. Last year, there's an award the village had won. Volcano mulching reminder. Hard to recycle materials. I think that was a new thing put out by the county compost week. I can throw in some of these things. Louise, it sounded like you had some potential ideas for sort of weekly and different days and weeks to recognize for potential newsletters.
Chemical
recycling.
Yeah, that should be there this Friday.
Well, when do you need one for? Let's put it that way.
The soonest would be Friday the 31st, so we'd need that Tuesday the 28th. This month, yeah.
I could go see if there's a national day, you know, for something that would be
any national days. If
Now I can't remember what you've already had, what I've already given you. Was it one on laundry?
I don't know if I did one on laundry. You did the dishwasher one, the induction stoves, heat pumps. I think those were the three big write-ups you had provided me.
Yeah,
so.
I think I had a laundry one. That might have been a longer one. Let me check.
And if you and I want to connect, I can shoot you an email tomorrow and just bounce some ideas off, because you seem to be the new library of these fun ideas. So
now that I've been with some from the HOA, I have time. So yeah, I want to do something completely different that has nothing to do with my HOA.
Perfect. Yeah, I will touch base with you tomorrow, and we will get a plan going forward. Yeah, that's it. Thank you guys. I know we've gone a little late tonight. We had a very packed agenda. I will plan to discuss leaf blowers, get that stuff out to you guys ASAP, look into the compost items, specifically the cost splitting, and then we can take a deeper dive into climate action after the leaf blower comments next month. Next month's meeting is June 11th. As we're getting into summer months, I know people take family vacation stuff. Obviously, let me know. I think I'm planning time off in July, but it should not interfere with a commission meeting. So again, let me know if you guys are going to be gone. No worries at all.
And just to reiterate the rules, if you're away for personal, you can still come into the meeting, but you just can't vote.
That's correct. If you're away on business, or if for some reason you are the individual sent on village business, you can still
but
vote.
You have to vote.
I will need to look into that there. That I will need to check the Open Meetings Act for. That I don't know. But yeah, I think that is it. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Please make the motion.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
We are adjourned at 8:47.